My name is Sarah Vioso. In May of 2020, I was diagnosed with glioblastoma, the most aggressive type of brain cancer known. This is my spiritual journey of completely surrendering to God's will while healing my soul through His grace. Welcome to Surviving Fear. Episode 30, A Conversation. I have learned through this process that one of my favorite pastimes is surprising doctors. It's fun. It's a good time. It's just watching them have to get out. And I don't say this to knock doctors, because doctors are one of the reasons I'm still here and not in heaven. And, you know, one of my cousins is a doctor, and I respect her so much because of the amount of work and studying and dedication it takes to achieve the level of knowledge and expertise while still remaining a caring and compassionate human being is a very tall order. My cousin Angela does it with such grace and is amazing in how she handles it. And I just really respect her opinions and her expertise. But I do love surprising doctors. I do. And my oncologist at this time frame, which was like October of last year, you're going to hear clicks because I'm turning off my light. It's a beautiful sunshiny day in Orange County, and I have my desk light on, and it's making my eyes a little cross. So I'm like, you know what? I just want the beautiful light of sunny Southern California. Anyway, natural light's a great thing for your eyes, and it's vitamin D. So when you can get it, get it. But I love surprising doctors. And, you know, my doctor was very cautious, and I appreciate her conservatism, because I am like, you know, pedal to the metal. Let's go. You need me to do that? I'm 28 days. I'm going to do all my, you know, every 28 days I'm doing my new cycle of chemo. And she was the one, and Paul, the two of them were saying, put the brakes on, and we need to listen to your body. And I so appreciated my doctor doing that. But she was very doubtful that my blood counts were going to get to the level they needed to for me to be able to continue chemo. And it's funny to me because, I mean, it's very ironic that I'm sitting here cheering for my blood counts to get high enough so I can pump my body full of more poison. And hey, some people like choose not to do chemo. I mean, it's a very personal choice. To me, it's something I wanted to do. But some people choose not to, and they choose to go other paths which work for them. And I think that's great, because it's a very personal journey when you go through a cancer diagnosis, or any diagnosis for that matter. But my doctor was like, Sarah, I just don't think your counts are going to recover from this. And I put something out on my caring bridge. I said, I need prayers for my blood counts. I need prayers for my blood counts. Just like I needed prayers for a good MRI. And the last MRI I'd had at that point came back miraculous. It was shrinking again. And they, like they said, it was going to be stable, or it was going to increase in size. It was never going away. And here it was. What they told me was shrinking. And they said, you know, I just don't think your body's going to be able to handle any more chemo. So I think you're going to be done with that. And I was, that was a hard pill to swallow. There's a good pun for you. My dad loves puns, so that's why I thought it was funny. Anyway, and maybe it's a little bit of a morbid pun, but an appropriate pun, but I still think it's funny. Just because, you know, they, again, I try not to listen to numbers, but some of the numbers I can't ignore. And when it comes to treatment, you know, the goal was for me to hit 6. You know, ideally, they wanted me to do 12 rounds of chemo post my original treatment with radiation. But they said, you know, research was showing that there isn't much difference between getting 6 rounds in or getting 12 rounds in. But, you know, they had told me 12 in the beginning, and I'm a numbers girl, so I latched on to 12. But the only thing that would, like, some people go on this particular chemo, it's called Tamadar, and they have no reaction. Like, one of my friends had told me about a guy that has glioblastoma. He's been on Tamadar for 7 years. I barely made it 7 days, and he made it, he's 7 years, and that's kind of, that's his management program. That keeps him straight and level. And if it helps his, it doesn't have effects on him. Me, it levels me. I could not be it on 7 years. So, but the big factor for me was my blood counts, because it hurt my blood count so much. It was leaving me susceptible to a specific type of pneumonia. I, like we talked about in the last episode, my, you know, low platelets does not allow my blood to clot. And then it also leaves me more susceptible to other infections and viruses because my white blood cell counts were so low. So I had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So that when my numbers hit the levels that they told me, I was stoked. And my doctor said, they're not going to come back up. So don't get your hopes up. You're going to need more time. And my max blood count, my blood levels came back up. And I just laughed. But I had asked specifically for prayers for my blood counts. I prayed specific prayers for blood counts. Anybody that would listen to me, can you please pray for me that my blood counts come back up so I continue on with my treatment? And I know that the only reason why I saw improvement was because of prayers. I know it. My body has shown time and time again that what was going on with it, what I was doing to it, and what we were choosing to do to it, it may have been healing cancer, but it was killing everything else. And that was not good. So, but my prayed for it, and through, you know, God's healing, he allowed my body to get strong enough to go back on the treatment that I needed. But, you know, I think some people get intimidated by prayer. I used to be so intimidated. There's a story about me in high school when I needed to say a prayer and I froze. It was in front of a gym full of people. And if my brother's listening to the story, he is laughing right now before I even tell it, because it's such a classic story. And I have a sneaky suspicion I may have told it already. Sorry, my memory is not great. I wish I could say this was due to the brain cancer and treatment, but it's not. It's never been great. I tend to tell stories over and over again, and I don't mean to. So if you've heard it, I'm sorry that you're hearing it again, but it really is one of the classics in my family. And I was supposed to give a speech or say the prayer for the big pep rally to kick off football season. And you have to understand, okay, I am raised Catholic. And I was when you go to catechism, a lot of times, or it's called CCD, and now I think it's called faith formation, you tend to focus on prayer and learning your prayers. And so praying off the cuff in front of people was not my forte. It was not my area of expertise. I don't think I'd ever said a prayer in front of anyone at that time in my life. I think I was 15. I was a sophomore in high school, and no, it's not something that you do. It isn't. So they asked me, and they wanted me to memorize it. I think the prayer was 13, or I'm sorry, I think it might have been three sentences, and I was so nervous, and I froze. Actually, I was a freshman because my brother was there. I wasn't a sophomore. I was a freshman, so I had to be 14. My brother was there because he still tells the story of standing in the audience and him going like, what is she doing? And his friends are going, what is she doing? Why isn't she talking? And I started off, dear God. And then I blanked. Now, you have to understand, where I grew up is they call it the Baptist Belt in Texas. It's very heavily Baptist. There's a lot of Methodist, Presbyterian, all different kinds of Christianity churches there. And, you know, I went to one of the two Catholic churches there. And I just think back laughing, but I was mortified. I mean, imagine you're a teenager. I don't even know why I was picked. My brother and I were talking about this a few months ago. I was like, why did they even pick you to do this? I'm like, I have no idea. I was a JV cheerleader at the time. And I could not say a prayer. I got as far as dear God, and then very awkward, uncomfortable silence for everyone around me. And then all you hear is this. A heavy sigh, because I didn't know what to say. And I think I fumbled through the rest of it. I was done with the prayer. And then I think I cried the next week and a half. So, because I was so embarrassed as a freshman, because I couldn't remember how to pray in front of people that know how to pray quite well, because that's how they're raised. I was raised. I could have rambled off a great Our Father, even a Hail Holy Queen. I could do all of it, but I could not say a prayer off the cuff. And I think that's a really important part of your prayer life. And it's not something that I really got into until I was diagnosed. You know, you have to remember, prayer is just a conversation. It's a conversation between you and God. And that's it. And it doesn't have to be formal. The formality of it, you can do formal. If that's what brings you closer to God and puts you in a meditative state where you feel closer, then by all means. That's why I say rosaries. Rosaries put me in, I've talked about this before, rosaries put me in a meditative state that I'm praying my rosary, but I can also focus on, you know, the intentions of why I'm saying that rosary. But, you know, if you've never said a rosary or you don't know anything about it because you have not been brought up in a Catholic religion or a religion that uses rosary, or not a religion, but a sect of Christianity that uses that, then it's okay. You know, there's no like, you have to do that. You know, it's okay. You need to have a conversation with God, though. That's prayer. That's all it is. It's just a conversation. And you need to be honest in that conversation. It's not for pomp and circumstance. It's not for anything showy. I mean, you just need to be honest. What are you thinking about? And just say, hey, God, Jesus, I need your help. You know, I don't understand. I'm angry right now. And I don't understand why this happened. And I need you to explain this to me. And I could really use some clarity right now on why this happened. And I mean, he'll know if you're not honest. He'll know if you aren't letting it all out. I mean, trust me, we've had some really angry conversations. Well, at least I was angry. He never was, of course, but I'm angry. And he doesn't always give you the answer then. And sometimes the answers come through other people. But again, the more you're having conversations, the more you find yourself in a state of prayer, the more regularly you start seeing and your eyes start opening up and like someone starts, like the light starts to shine more. It's like the sun coming up going, oh yeah, you answered that prayer here when this happened and that was you working through this person, or however the dots get connected. You know, this really wasn't something I did until after my diagnosis. I always felt prayer had to be very formal. I had to say it right. I couldn't mess up. And I don't know why. I really think it's something I imposed on myself. I think it was a very false perception of what was being communicated through me to me through my Catholic upbringing. This is my own fault. It's not anything the Catholic Church did. I don't think I was paying attention like I should have, but then, you know, God gave me a swift kick in the behind to let me know, hey, open your eyes a little bit. See what I'm trying to tell you. And I think that was so needed. And I'm grateful. You know, my conversations with him are grateful. I try to go to Thanksgiving as much as I can, being like, look, I'm thankful for this, but really, why did this have to happen? And one of those conversations I had to do with my friend, Jenny. And Jenny showed up at my house a few days after I got home from the hospital. And she actually reached out to me immediately. And she texted me and she's like, Sarah, I need to come see you. And Jenny was my son Adam's faith formation teacher since he started faith formation in first grade. A dear woman. Like, you cannot be in Jenny's presence. I never saw her without a smile on her face, ever. And just a joy. Your day got better just to look at Jenny. She just was a joy. And seriously, I feel like she produced her own light of Christ. I mean, I don't even know if she was a reflection. She is just such a faithful and light in this world. And I said, well, Jenny, I said, I would love for you to come over. I said, you know, things are kind of crazy. She goes, Sarah, I need to see you. I said, okay. And Jenny has three children of her own. She works. She volunteers more hours than I can even count. And she needed to urgently see me. So I was like, Jenny, come over. Jenny said, I need to share my story with you. And I think it's going to help. And she shared the story of her daughter. Now, Jenny had an older daughter who's my son Adam's age. And then she had twins. Boy-girl twins. And when she had her twins, her one daughter was born with glioblastoma. So Jenny now has three children. One of them is now in the ICU or the NICU. She's in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. And they took her daughter in for emergency surgery to remove the tumor because that gave her the best chance. They did a scan post-surgery. Now, Jenny is coming over and telling me all this. As I'm sitting there, I just had my surgery. And she's like, but you need to hear this story. And she was so adamant. She goes, I need you to hear this. And through tears, she shared this personal story of her daughter. And so surgery went as well as it could. And they did another scan. And they saw that they didn't get it all. So Jenny said she got on her knees and prayed all night for her daughter and that God would intercede and they would heal her daughter. All night, she said. She goes, she didn't sleep that night. And she just sat there in prayer, in very fervent, dedicated prayer, asking for God's healing. The next day, I guess they did another scan. And the doctors came back in. She goes, we're taking her back in right now. And Jenny goes, what do you mean? She goes, I don't. And the doctor told her, I don't know what happened, but something has, it has broken loose. I'm like, it is broken loose? What do you mean it's, you know, Jenny, I'm like, Jenny, what do you mean it's broken loose? She goes, Sarah, exactly. That's what I said. And she goes, it had broken loose. What was left of the tumor that they were watching somehow had broken loose. The doctors went back in, removed the rest of the tumor, and her daughter is now 11 years old. No recurrence, no chemo, no radiation, and she lives a normal life of an 11-year-old girl. Again, normal, what's normal? But she lives a life of an 11-year-old girl. And I mean, and Jenny told me this story through the happiest of tears. And it was a miracle. It was a direct answer to prayer. And I know we don't always get those prayers answers. We want people saved. And we say saved to get to stay on this earth longer when God has a different plan. And for whatever reason, and we'll get that reason when we go there. It's a heavenly answer when we get up there and we get to know. And the reason why I tell you this story with such emotion is because Jenny passed away in January of this year. She, in fall of last year, sorry, you're going to hear my dog growl for a second because he heard a sound outside, but in fall last year, Jenny was diagnosed with leukemia, which was very treatable. And she was declared in remission. And then, but while in the hospital, she had contracted COVID while she was getting her treatment. And Jenny passed away in January because of it. But I know that Jenny is so close by. In that thin veil that separates us from, that separates the earthly world from the heavenly world, is so very thin. And it's so funny because it's been a little over 6 months since Jenny passed, and she keeps showing up. I mean, she's such a, so strong in prayer and such a delightful soul. And I know without a doubt, she's up there interceding in our corner, in that heavenly cheering section. And she just kept saying, when she told me the story of her daughter, that she is his miracle. She is his miracle. And she shared with me that her daughter, since she's so far beyond her original diagnosis of glioblastoma, there's a better chance of her getting some other cancer than her having a reoccurrence of glioblastoma, which is miraculous. I just want to, just don't give up on miracles. Keep your eyes open. Have conversations with God. That's what this is about. This was all about having conversations with God. Pray. That's all prayer is a conversation between you and God. You just telling him your struggles, telling him what you're grateful for, thanking him for his love, telling him what you're struggling with. And he's there listening. Just remember Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Vioso. See you at the next episode of Surviving Fear.
Surviving Fear is made possible by the efforts of our executive producer, JT Henderson, writer and director, Sarah Vioso, producer and editor, Kristen Walker, artistic creator, Laura Ritchie, graphic editor, Linda Lee, and musical artist and composer, Adam Vioso.